If you stepped into a time machine and went back 100 years, so much of your daily life would be just completely unrecognizable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your smartphone obviously wouldn't exist.
Right. And modern medicine would look pretty archaic, the way we travel, the way we work, all of it has been completely overhauled.
Yeah, a total paradigm shift in almost every area.
But if you walked into a high school math class, you would know exactly what to do.
Because it hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed at all. The fundamental architecture of a classroom hasn't changed in a century. You walk into a room, there's a person standing at the front, and, 20 to 30 people are sitting in rows.
Facing forward, taking instructions.
Exactly. One teacher, one lesson plan, one pace, and one period to deliver it.
I mean, sure, we might have swapped out chalkboards for glowing interactive screens.
Yeah, and the textbooks are on iPads now.
Right. But the actual physical and chronological structure of that learning experience, it is practically identical to the industrial era.
And because every single one of us listening to this deep dive has lived through that exact structure, we also know the invisible tragedy playing out in that room every single day.
Yeah, it's something everyone remembers.
Right, because 15 minutes into a lecture, there is always that one kid near the window who already gets the concept.
Yeah, they're completely checked out.
Doodling, just, killing time until the bell rings. And then, and this is the heartbreaking part, somewhere in the back row, there is another kid who is quietly, desperately falling
The
behind.
concept from 10 minutes ago just didn't click.
Exactly. But they are way too embarrassed to raise their hand and halt the entire class just to admit it.
And, neither of those students is doing anything intentionally wrong.
Right.
The student staring out the window isn't a troublemaker, and the student falling behind isn't incapable of learning. But neither of them is being served well by the architecture of that room.
So today we are looking at how we might finally dismantle that century-old architecture. We're diving into some thought leadership from Rod Clarkson.
Yes, the CEO of Excel Education Systems.
Right, which is a major provider of accredited online education. And before we really get into the concepts, I mean, we should establish where this information is coming from because this organization operates on a massive scale.
They really do.
Yeah, so Excel Education Systems owns and operates Excel High School, Texas, Northgate Academy.
And Washington Technical Institute.
Right. All of these are fully accredited online institutions serving students all around the world.
And that scale is important to keep in mind because they aren't just running the schools, they are actually building the underlying technology.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they own an edtech division called LearnStage. So to put it simply, they build the digital plumbing that makes these schools function.
Got it.
They develop the learning management system, which is basically the digital classroom where the lessons actually happen.
Right.
And they build the student information system that tracks the grades and transcripts, along with digital courseware, and a growing suite of AI-powered tools designed for these highly personalized educational experiences.
And that infrastructure piece is key, I think, because for a long time, the narrative around artificial intelligence in education has been dominated by a very specific fear.
The fear of replacing humans.
Exactly. The fear of reducing a child's education to this cold, sterile exchange with a glowing screen.
Right.
But the core premise we are looking at today flips that entirely. The argument here is that artificial intelligence isn't here to replace human teachers. It's actually the mechanism required to save the human elements of teaching.
But to get there, it requires looking at the classroom from a completely different angle.
How so?
Well, when students fall through the cracks in that traditional classroom setup we talked about, the cultural tendency is to blame the system or to blame a lack of caring educators.
Sure, yeah.
But Clarkson makes a pretty stark observation about this dynamic. He says the traditional structure failing students isn't a failure of teachers, it is a failure of math.
A failure of math. I like that. That takes the guilt off the teacher entirely.
Right. It frames it as a logistical impossibility. I mean, one single human being, no matter how dedicated or highly trained they are, simply lacks the capacity to write 30 different individualized lesson plans every single night.
So impossible.
They can't grade 30 sets of work with highly nuanced feedback and track 30 completely separate cognitive journeys in real time.
Let alone still have the emotional bandwidth to actually mentor those kids.
Exactly. We have spent a century asking educators to do something mathematically impossible and then acting shocked when the system produces uneven results.
Which really explains why the entire K-12 system had to invent a ghost just to function. You know, the myth of the average student.
Yes, the average student. It's the phantom metric that dictates everything. Curriculum pacing guides, the calibration of textbook difficulty, the standard 45-minute class period. They're all engineered for a hypothetical middle-of-the-road learner who doesn't actually exist.
Because if you look at a room full of 30 teenagers, I mean, they bring 30 unique sets of background knowledge, curiosity, and cognitive wiring to the table.
Very true.
You've got one kid who grasps abstract algebra instantly, but hits a wall with reading comprehension. And another kid needs, like, 3 tactile, real-world examples before theory makes any sense at all. Human learning is wildly diverse.
And the shift happening right now, specifically the work being done at Excel Education Systems, it relies on the fact that we finally have the technological capacity to meet that diverse need at scale. They refer to this as true hyper-personalization.
Well, let me stop you there, because personalized learning is a phrase that tech companies have been throwing around for at least a decade now.
Oh, for sure. It's a huge buzzword.
Yeah, I remember using adaptive learning software back in the 2010s. And if you got a math problem wrong, the software would just bounce you to a generic remedial video or make you take a repeat quiz.
Right, right.
It honestly felt like calling a frustrating automated customer service phone tree. You know, press 1 to repeat the quiz, press 2 if you're still confused. It was just a reactive flowchart.
Yeah, and the distinction between a reactive flowchart and a true AI co-teacher comes down to the mechanism of observation.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, those old adaptive systems, they didn't know why a student failed. A wrong answer in math could mean the student misread the question, or maybe they made a tiny addition error, or they fundamentally misunderstood the core concept.
Right, the flowchart didn't care, it just applied a generic Band-Aid.
Exactly. But true hyper-personalization operates by analyzing behavior. It watches the actual process of learning.
But how does it actually do that, though? How does a piece of software watch a student learn?
It tracks the micro-interactions. So an AI co-teacher can analyze how long a cursor hovers over an answer before a selection is made, which indicates hesitation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it analyzes the specific vocabulary a student uses when typing a question into a help chat. If a student is working through a multi-step physics problem, the AI monitors exactly which step causes the delay.
That's incredibly detailed.
And furthermore, it remembers historical data for that specific student. It knows which types of explanations have actually produced breakthroughs in the past.
So it's essentially building a cognitive profile of how that specific brain works.
Yes. For example, if the system knows a student has a deep interest in automotive engineering, it can take a standard lesson on force and momentum and instantly reframe it.
Oh, I see.
Instead of a generic ball rolling down a generic hill, the entire lesson is taught through the lens of a sports car taking a sharp corner.
That's so cool.
Or if a student is highly musical, it can teach mathematical ratios using rhythm and pitch. The academic standard remains completely rigorous. The AI simply changes the delivery vehicle so the student is genuinely engaged.
And that level of adaptation, I mean, that solves a massive friction point. Because if a lesson doesn't connect with a kid's interests, keeping them engaged is just an uphill battle.
Absolutely.
But it also connects to something deeper about how hard the work should be. I saw a term in the notes for this deep dive, the zone of proximal development.
Ah, yes. That is a foundational concept from educational psychology. It was coined by Lev Vygotsky. The zone of proximal development, or ZPD, is essentially the sweet spot for learning. Mm. It is the narrow band of difficulty where a task is hard enough to require genuine, stretching effort, but not so hard that it induces panic or discouragement.
So it's like the Goldilocks zone for your brain.
Precisely. It is where flow states happen. When work is too easy, students get bored and act out. When work is too hard, they shut down.
Yeah.
And the tragedy of the 30-student classroom is that one teacher is essentially trying to hit 30 moving targets with a single arrow. It is physically impossible to keep everyone in their individual zone of proximal development simultaneously.
So if keeping a kid in that Goldilocks zone is the secret to unlocking their potential, why aren't we doing it? I mean, well,
Yeah, it turns an average performer into a top-tier performer simply by adapting the pace and the framing to their specific needs.
But historically, Achieving that Two Sigma leap has been a luxury, right? Hiring a dedicated private tutor for every subject is incredibly expensive.
Right.
It is basically reserved for families with serious disposable income.
Which is exactly why Bloom called it a problem. It was an unreachable ideal for the general population. But the breakthrough that Excel Education Systems is leveraging is that hyper-personalized AI finally makes that Two Sigma leap accessible at scale.
Without being gated by a family's zip code or income bracket.
Exactly.
Or their time zone, honestly. The material points out that this AI co-teacher doesn't clock out at 3 p.m.
Right, it's always on.
If you are a high schooler who has to juggle a part-time job to help your family, or maybe you're an elite athlete training during the day, you aren't penalized for not fitting into the traditional schedule. The system is there, patiently guiding you at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m.
And it also provides an unprecedented level of psychological safety.
How so?
Well, in a crowded room, falling behind the pace feels humiliating, especially for students with processing differences or attention challenges.
Oh, for sure.
But the AI adapts without signaling anything to the rest of the room. If it detects a student struggling with dense text, it might quietly break the paragraphs into shorter chunks, or offer a visual diagram, or provide an audio walkthrough.
The student isn't singled out.
Exactly. They just experience a lesson shaped to their mind, which builds immense confidence.
And it works for the kids staring out the window, too. The AI recognizes when a gifted kid has mastered the foundational concept and automatically scales up the difficulty. It pushes them into an interdisciplinary project so they can't just coast.
Right. Everyone stays engaged.
But, you know, I want to push back on the terminology here just a bit.
Okay, go for it.
Clarkson uses the phrase co-teacher to describe this AI. And I hear the benefits, I really do, but it still lacks a soul. Will a teenager actually respect a machine telling them to try harder? Or will they just treat it like an annoying video game pop-up?
That's a fair question.
I mean, calling a piece of software a co-teacher feels a bit like, you know, tech bro marketing.
Yeah, that is a very natural skepticism. A generic pop-up telling you to try again is annoying because it doesn't understand you.
Right.
But the text argues for the term co-teacher because of the constant presence and the deep understanding of the student's cognitive habits.
Mm.
I mean, a tool is something you pick up and put down.
Okay, sure.
But a co-teacher, integrated into an ecosystem like LearnStage, it acts as a second set of eyes devoted entirely to one student's progress. It earns respect because it consistently provides framing that actually makes sense to that specific user. It works alongside the human teacher toward the exact same academic goal.
Okay, I hear that. But let's follow that logic. If this AI co-teacher is a constant partner, always there at 2 a.m., always keeping kids in that comfortable Goldilocks zone, and adapting to their every need, doesn't that raise a massive red flag?
What do you mean?
If an algorithm is gently guiding a student every single time they get stuck, aren't we just raising a generation of kids who lean on software to do all their critical thinking? If the AI always has the answer, why would a kid ever learn to struggle through a tough problem?
Right. And that is the central risk of integrating technology into education poorly.
Yeah.
If an AI just functions as an answer key, it is a massive step backward.
Yeah.
But this is where the guardrails of hyper-personalization come into play.
Mm.
These systems are intentionally designed to act as a coach for thinking, heavily utilizing the Socratic method.
Answering questions with questions.
Yes, exactly. When a student hits a wall and asks the AI for the answer, the system is programmed to withhold it. Instead, it prompts them.
Okay, like what?
It might say, "Tell me what you already know about this concept," or "Where exactly in this equation did your reasoning start to feel uncertain?"
Which forces the student to actually interrogate their own thinking.
It requires them to articulate their confusion, which is a critical cognitive skill. And over time, this builds a highly pragmatic, future-ready understanding of technology.
Right.
Students learn firsthand what AI is actually good at, processing massive amounts of information quickly and where its absolute limits are. They learn that AI lacks human judgment and lived experience.
So they're learning to use it as a tool, not a crutch.
Exactly. Learning to collaborate with AI, using it to pressure test your own ideas rather than blindly trusting it to do the work, is one of the most vital skills a modern student can develop.
And that continuous feedback loop completely changes how we think about testing. The source material uses this incredible metaphor for traditional testing. It calls the traditional exam an autopsy.
The autopsy assessment. Yeah, it is a visceral but highly accurate description of how traditional schooling operates.
Right. Think about the mechanics of a traditional class. You study for 3 weeks, you take a test on Friday, and you get a grade back the following Tuesday. If you completely misunderstood a foundational concept on day 2 of week 1, you don't find out until the week 3 exam. By that point, the misunderstanding has infected everything you built on top of it.
You are just dragging this dead weight of confusion with you.
Exactly, and the class has already moved on to the next unit. You're just diagnosing what died after the fact, thus the autopsy.
And hyper-personalization eliminates the autopsy by folding the assessment directly into the learning process. It becomes continuous.
Right.
As a student works through a problem, the AI isn't just waiting to mark the final answer right or wrong. It is watching the reasoning process step by step. So if a student goes off track on step 2 of a 5-step equation, the AI offers a gentle nudge right there.
It prevents tiny micro misunderstandings from calcifying into massive learning gaps.
Exactly.
And this generates a completely different kind of data for the human teacher. Let's talk about the dashboard. Because instead of a teacher just seeing a spreadsheet of C- grades, they get behavioral insights. How does the dashboard actually know what to tell the teacher?
Well, it analyzes the work in real time. For example, it doesn't just scan a final English essay and assign a grade. It watches the keystrokes.
Wow, really?
Yeah. It sees a student type out a thesis statement, delete it, type a new one, delete it again, and ultimately give up and just write a summary of the book instead of an argument.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Right. The system flags that specific behavioral bottleneck. The dashboard then alerts the human teacher, saying, in effect, you know, this student has a brilliant grasp of narrative structure, but they experience severe anxiety and stall out entirely when attempting to formulate a thesis.
Which means the teacher doesn't have to waste 45 minutes reteaching an entire unit to a class that mostly gets it.
No, they don't.
They can pull that specific student aside for 10 highly focused minutes, addressing the exact bottleneck concept.
It optimizes the human intervention.
But that brings us to the ultimate question. If the AI is handling the personalized pacing, and if it's doing the continuous Socratic nudging, and if it's running the real-time assessments, what exactly is the human teacher doing? I mean, if the algorithm is doing all this heavy lifting, what is the point of the human in the room?
Well, the AI is taking over what the source material calls the mechanical layer of instruction.
The administrative busy work.
Exactly, the tasks that burn teachers out. Grading stacks of 30 identical worksheets. Formatting slide decks, building practice quizzes from scratch, logging attendance, writing routine progress notes.
All the stuff that has nothing to do with connecting with kids.
Right. None of these tasks are the reason anyone becomes an educator, but they consume a massive percentage of a teacher's energy and time.
Let me throw an analogy at you. It feels like the AI co-teacher is, it's like a highly efficient sous chef in a restaurant kitchen.
Okay, I like that.
The AI is in the back doing all the tedious, repetitive prep work. It is chopping the onions, measuring the flour, and simmering the stock for 8 hours. It handles the mechanics, so the human teacher, the head chef, has the creative energy and the time to actually craft the final meal, taste the nuances, and walk out to the dining room to connect with the guests.
That analogy holds up perfectly because there are essential functions the AI simply cannot execute.
Right.
An algorithm cannot share a personal story of struggle and resilience. It cannot look a frustrated, doubting student in the eye and say, "I believe in you," and actually mean it. Empathy, belief, and mentorship are exclusively human traits.
And those are the things that actually change a kid's life.
Exactly. By eliminating the mechanical burden, we return time and energy to teachers so they can reinvest in those irreplaceable human moments. And, you know, there are ethical guardrails here, too.
Right, like data privacy.
Yes. Student data must never be sold or used commercially. And we need real credentialed human oversight because AI could reinforce old inequities if left unchecked. Teacher training is essential to make this work.
And it creates space for student-to-student connection as well, right? School is fundamentally a social experience.
Yes, it is.
If you aren't forcing 30 kids to grind through identical worksheets in silence for an hour, you suddenly have time for respectful disagreement. You have time for debates and for messy, hands-on, real-world group projects where young people have to learn how to compromise and collaborate.
Exactly. The efficiency of the AI on the foundational academics actually makes room for the messy human stuff that builds character.
Right.
And if we successfully allow technology to handle the mechanical layer, it leads to what might be the most profound paradigm shift in the history of modern education. It allows us to abandon the concept of seat time in favor of genuine competency.
Ah, because right now, a high school diploma is largely just a certificate of attendance.
It truly is. Under the current system, two students can sit through the exact same semester of chemistry. One barely scrapes by with a D, retaining almost nothing, while the other masters the material entirely in the first month.
But they both sit there for the same amount of time.
Yes. Yet, our system treats their experience as identical in terms of time spent in a seat. We simply issue a different letter grade and march them both into the next semester.
But with hyper-personalization, time becomes the variable and learning becomes the constant.
Exactly.
If a student fully grasps a concept in 3 days, the system gives them the green light to move forward immediately. They don't have to sit there for 3 weeks waiting for the syllabus to catch up.
Right.
And conversely, if a student actually needs 3 weeks to understand that same concept, they are given exactly that time and the AI support to get there. Nobody is punished for needing more time, and nobody is held back for needing less.
What matters is that real understanding was reached before moving on. In that world, a transcript stops being a column of vague letter grades that represent time served. It becomes a genuine, verifiable signal of learner competency.
Which is huge for their future.
Colleges, trade schools, and employers get an honest picture of what a young person is actually capable of executing.
Let's bring this all together. What we are talking about today, based on the innovations happening at Excel Education Systems, isn't some dystopian sci-fi future where we replace human empathy with algorithms.
Not at all.
It is fundamentally about solving a century-old capacity problem. It is about using sophisticated digital plumbing to give educators the bandwidth to get back to the human connections that drew them to the profession in the first place.
It is the technological realization of what good educators have always attempted to do. Treat every single student as an individual with their own pace, their own unique way of processing the world, and their own inherent worth.
Think about your own life for a second. Think about a time you were struggling to learn a complex new skill and how isolating and frustrating that felt.
It's the worst feeling.
It really is. Now remember, the sheer physical relief of finally having it explained to you in a way that matched exactly how your brain works without feeling rushed and without feeling judged. That feeling of relief and clarity is what we are talking about scaling to every student.
And if we look at the broader implications of this shift, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Okay.
We have spent this deep dive exploring how technology can shift K-12 education away from seat time and toward genuine competency. But what would happen if we applied that exact same standard to our adult workplaces?
Oh, wow.
How much of your own workday is currently measured just by the hours you sit at your desk, rather than the actual value, understanding, and competency you bring to the table?
That is a question that could unravel a whole lot of corporate structures. Keep that in mind the next time you're sitting in a meeting that definitely could have been an email. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.